Good evening. Here am I sitting on my lonesome on a Monday evening. Great to see you all. Thanks so much, folks, for tuning in. And we have a special guest, hopefully, coming along to have a chat with us, Gregory Paul Martin. So Gregory hopefully will be here. But anyway, I hope this one finds you all well. Now, listen, I didn't realize I took a couple of days away from the old interzooms and the interwebs. And what happens? Well, it looks like World War III's essentially broken out, or almost broken out. Or has it? I don't know. Not sure. But certainly, anyway, the media headlines were hysterical. So I thought to myself, well, I've got to be careful. If I take another break, I mean, that could be it for all of humanity. Hi, Leslie. Good to see you, my friend, over on the YouTubes. Actually, this one, we're putting it out on YouTube, but we're putting it out on Facebook, X/Twitter, Rumble, and Getter. So it's going across all platforms, well, most platforms anyway, that matter. Leslie says, hope you had a relaxing weekend. I did. I enjoyed our wonderful spring weather, which was basically squally showers and rain. But that all changed today, Leslie, when it just became rain. But we wouldn't be British if we didn't bitch about the weather. I mean, I suppose it's what it is. Anyway, listen, this live show, of course, is sponsored by my good friends at Quantum Hypno. And just a reminder of the services that are provided by Quantum Hypno. Play the ad.
Hi, I'm Sarah Jane Smith. Find your path by doing my new Millionaire's Mindset Hypnosis. I help you to break any subconscious thought patterns that are stopping you from obtaining all of your goals. The truth will then come to the forefront of your mind that you are worthy and deserving of achieving everything. You'll start to attract the right people into your life. Opportunities will open up as a result. Financial success is a natural outcome from being clear and focused. Everything will literally fall into place when you do what you love. People are already enjoying mind-blowing success with this incredible session. So what are you waiting for?
So yeah, what are you waiting for? Quantum Hypno, check out the link below and do support them. Okie dokie. So as I say, there's been very little happening apart from World War III. So I mean, I'm not sure what we're going to really be able to talk about. Gregory, I believe, is here or hereabouts. So he just needs to, if he can see this, make sure he clicks the link and come into the studio. That's what needs to happen. And we can then have hopefully a really interesting conversation. So listen, yeah, the whole Iran-Israel thing has been obviously dominating the news agenda over the past couple of days. And I wonder what you guys make of it all. You know, I mean, I've seen all kinds of comments and all kinds of discussions on it. You know, who is the aggressor? Who is the victim? I'm not really sure. But I know enough to be basically saying, oh yeah, Iran, they're totally evil, or Israel, they're totally bad. I don't think life's as black and white as that, you know, do you? So what I do think is that Joe Biden is, and the regime that he heads up are absolutely culpable. So, yes, I'm just getting a message from Gregory here. I think he's having a few problems with his laptop. So, okay, I'll keep an eye. And if he can come in, he will then be in. The thing about this is, I put this out on actually a podcast earlier today. Here's the thing. Oh, hi, by the way, Winston Smith. Good to see you. The 2020, Joe Biden told us that if Donald Trump got in, there would be war with Iran. He told us that. If Donald Trump gets back in again, hey, man, there's going to be a war with Iran. 4 years on, ever got the impression that the whole Biden regime is one massive psyop? Because I think that's exactly what the Biden regime is. It's an incredibly complicated psyop. But as I've said to other friends, it's almost that it is basically wanting to have to actually have a world war, certainly a regional conflict. I mean, Iran has nukes, probably. Israel has nukes, probably. Or if they don't have nukes, they've got lots and lots of weapons. And so they have the capacity to destroy each other. And that's not going to be good for anybody. You see, in a way, where I stand on this one is where I stood on the Ukraine Russia thing. You know, I don't want to see the loss of any life. I don't want to see young Ukrainian men being killed or young Russian men being killed. That's what I said back, if you recall, at the end of February 2022. Obviously, you know, it didn't happen. And I think we've lost roughly, 500,000 Ukrainians, dead Ukrainians, tragic. Maybe the same Russians, I don't know. So the field, the soil of eastern Ukraine is, soaked in blood, the blood of innocents, really. The blood sacrifice, the ritual sacrifice, as far as I can see. So nobody wins, nobody has won in Ukraine. Nobody can win in Ukraine. But who definitely can't win in Ukraine is Ukraine. You've seen the blessed BBC telling us that this could be the year that Ukraine loses. You know, it's really quite sad. All those young lives lost for nothing. So if you then take the argument forward to what we're seeing with Iran and Israel, is that not just another iteration of the forever wars that the cabal in Washington want? Because it seems to me that it absolutely is. And as Jed says here, if you're watching this on YouTube, hit the heart button and remember to share this one. We've got to get the information out here. Okay, I'm just gonna send. I'm multitasking here. I'm just gonna send Gregory the link. So he's trying to get in, but he's having some technical problems. But folks, you know, at this end, nothing flusters us. We just carry on. So anyway, yeah. So whilst Gregory tries to log into the studio, and then we can hopefully start our conversation. I just think that we have to be careful. People say, choose a side. Well, you know, I won't be told what to do. And I sure as hell won't be told to choose a side when neither side in this conflict is my own country. Do you know? And I noticed that, I'm sure you saw Rishi Sunak saying RAF fighters were over there shooting down drones, allegedly. Were they? I don't know. Joe Biden said that US fighters were shooting down drones as well. Again, maybe they were. I mean, I'm very glad that the Iranian attack didn't get through. I didn't want to see, sure as hell, don't want to see dead Israelis. There's enough of that killing has gone on. So that it was good to see that essentially the Iranian strike, I'm not sure, should I say Iranian or Iranian? You said tomato, I said tomato. The thing, the weapons didn't get through, the missiles didn't get through. I'm not sure what the casualty figures in Israel were, but they seem to be pretty much, you know, very, very modest. But every life's precious. And so, yeah, I would hope that this one doesn't escalate any further than we've seen. That said, we have had the, Israeli, one of the minister for war or whatever, said that there will be a significant Israeli response back to Iran. I really would rather that wasn't the case. Our friend here on YouTube, Winston's telling me the drones went into airspace RAF was operating in, apparently. So RAF dealing with other issues in the Middle East. See, here's my thing. Why is the RAF dealing in any issues in the Middle East? That would be my question. Why is that then? What are the big issues for the UK and the Middle East? See, I wouldn't have thought there was really any. I think there's issues for the UK when it comes to, our borders and such like. But I don't think we've got sort of, I don't think we should be. I've become very much of the mindset that says we should be protecting our own country, protecting our own borders, looking after our own interests, and really keeping the hell out of external conflicts. That's what I think we should be doing. Is that pacifist? I suppose it is a bit, but I am happy for us to defend ourselves. Hi, Chris. Davis, my good friend. Good to see you there. Thanks for joining in the chat. And as I say, we're hoping to be joined by Gregory, but we seem to be having some tech issues at his end. All he needs to do, if he's listening to this, is click the link that I've sent you through, and in you will come to the studio. So hopefully you can do that, Gregory. It's just click it and you can come in. So there's been... Oh, he's here. He's here. Right. I see him. Have you noticed the effortless way in which I've been able to bluster this, by the way, Gregory? Have you noticed that? So anyway, this relieves the stress levels in me. I can see him sitting there quietly in the background. So I'll give him a second to get himself all ready, and I can have my coffee there. Nope, he just turned his camera off, but he's back on again. Don't touch anything, Gregory. Don't touch the dial, right? So, hey, listen. So, look, I'm really pleased. Our special guest this evening, I've been trying to get Gregory on for a while, and I think he's a really interesting, a very super smart guy as well, with a really, really interesting backstory. Chris Davis, he says, yes, your bluster was seamless, David. Of course it was, Chris. I'm very good at it. So let's without any further ado, and without him pressing any more buttons, let's bring tonight's special guest, Gregory Paul Martin, into the studio.
Thank you, David. I'm so sorry about all this technological stuff, but Mercury's been retrograde during eclipse. It is like hell.
Yeah. Well, it has to be said. We'll talk about it. We get so much to talk about, Gregory, and I'm not sure we'll get through everything, but we will get.
We'll
get through what we want, and what we don't get through, we'll save for another time. So, listen. First of all, as I say, I'm really pleased to have you on the stream. We're putting this out across the known universe, the Facebooks, to the YouTubes, to the Rumbles, to the Twitters, to the Getters, blah, 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 blah. Goes out in the podcast as well. So just everyone, if you're not following Gregory, there's his X handle, Twitter handle. Watch it come down. There he is. You can check him, his content out over there. There's a nice picture of Klaus Schwab. to frighten them, Gregory. Give people nightmares. So so you can find Gregory over there. You've also got a website. I know, Gregory, it's going to be, we're just putting it underneath here, scrolling underneath, gregorypaulmartin.com. So it's a new website coming very shortly. So if you want to, check out what Gregory can do and can help you with and whatever, that's where to go. So I think those are it. There's also an email address. We're going to push that, as we'll put that as well. Yeah, if you want to book appointments to see him. Because, Gregory, you are, I don't use this term very often, but I'd rather you have something in common with someone else we have something a common interest in, and that is a certain gentleman who lived hundreds of years ago who was a Renaissance man. I see you smiling. A Renaissance man of that time. His name, by the way, folks, is Edward de Vere, and he wrote Shakespeare, and Gregory and I will be 100%. Able to chat about that at another time. But you're a bit of a Renaissance man as well. I find your backstory really, really interesting, Gregory. So I wonder, can we just start from the beginning, really? Obviously, you were born, your dad, obviously very well known, Sir George Morton, a guy who produced the Beatles. I was amazed, Gregory. I thought everybody knew that. But I've realized that young people now don't necessarily necessarily get the all that amazing musical history. No. What was it like coming up, being brought up in that background, can I ask you, Gregory?
Probably not what you think. And I'm writing a book about it right now called Blackbird, which is a Paul McCartney song.
Yep.
We should be out next year, folks. Before I answer that question, let me just say that my life is exploding, as I knew, because I knew astrology so well since I was a kid. What happened now is exploding in an amazing way with my production company in London. I have limited time, but if anyone wants to get together with me, wants to ask for a reading, because we're living in the darkest time of humanity and the chart will show everything, they should the website will be up by the end of this week, but they should email my manager, Sarah, at GregoryPaulMartinAstro.com. GregoryPaulMartinAstro.com. And I'll try to give them support astrologically. Thank you. Thank you, David. Mm-hmm. So regarding your question, it was fantastic and a nightmare at the same time. That's probably Julian Lennon, John's son, would tell you. Yeah, I'm sure he would tell you that. I've spoken to him about it.
Yep.
The Beatles thing was very bizarre. It's very hard for people to understand it today because there's no frame of reference for it. There never will be anything like it again. The being a kid in the eye of the storm of the greatest entertainment act of all time, because it really was bigger than Richard Burton, who I knew as an actor, and Elizabeth Taylor, which was huge in the 60s. It was bigger than that. So it was very, it taught me a lot. But, that was my karma.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. As you said, I don't think that period in history will ever be repeated.
No.
Gregory, because things have moved on a lot since then, good or bad. I just find it was a fascinating time. I'm glad, like yourself, I was around to have some...
Yeah.
Some knowledge of it, and of course the Beatles did change, I think, society, they changed life, they changed the music industry. They were real change agents. The one thing is, have you heard one of there are conspiracy theories out there that have said that the Beatles themselves, I'm sure you've heard this one, what do you make of that? That the Beatles, it was all part of a plan to essentially de-atomize society. What do you think of that?
Well, look, that's a great question. I think we need to be very careful with that stuff because because we need to talk about the WF and Klaus Schwab and astrology and Bill Gates, it's such a huge subject. Everything in my experience gets co-opted. Everything good has gotten co-opted into the dark side. We spoke about this today, David.
Yeah.
Like you said to me, we've been played for years. That's true. And that's why this is the apocalypse. And the meaning of the apocalypse is revelation, pulling of the veil. It's not like the end of the world. It's the end of the former world, the dark side. So we are in the dark times, and it's awful and difficult. But there's definitely elements of that. I saw it with growing up with my father and the Beatles. But, I don't think all this stuff with Paul is dead and Masonic.
Yeah.
That's kind of crazy. Even though I didn't write a book about that, I didn't understand, but I was actually the guy who actually believed in the Billy Shears thing when I agreed to write the book. Because it's just nuts. Paul is Paul. But I think it's very probable that the dark forces on the planet would co-opt anything, and they're certainly on the internet right now. So, but the Beatles were just the Beatles. The Beatles were genuinely brilliant, brilliant people whose songwriting skills and personalities were extraordinary. So let's not map, all that crazy conspiracy shit on the Beatles. I mean, my dad always said for all his problems, and he had enormous problems that nobody knows about that I, psychological problems that I'll talk about in this book, Blackbird, he wasn't perfect. Nobody's perfect, not even Jesus. The Beatles were just extraordinary people. And he always said to me, and he said it publicly, that the extraordinary thing was that in their presence as people, you felt diminished when they left because they were such incredible people. They had such great, enormous charm, which is why Brian Epstein was totally seduced by them and just, you know, fell in love with them. It was just a phenomenon. And it all went wrong, you know, because they grew up. And John, in particular, got into drugs in a major way, popping LSD like it was like they were M&Ms or jelly beans. And then there was Yoko, all that stuff, which is dark, very dark. And I said, as I said to you today, I want you to bring May Pang on your show because she was John's mistress and honestly, the only woman he ever really loved. There's a lot of darkness around the Beatleship, but they were just incredible people, you know, and the music, they're incredibly gifted. So it's very important, I think, to go back to your question that anything that, you know, in the world we've lived in up until now, anything that is good gets co-opted into the darkness, but that's not going to go on.
Yeah, because it is, Gregory, it's a, I mean, you know, it's a fallen world that we live in. So it's completely logical, as you say, to sort of conclude that everything that is good ultimately is going to be sullied or at least try to be co-opted in whichever which way. And that's, Gregory, where we've, I mean, basically, I don't know about you, but, you know, going back to 2020, I'm not sure what, from an astrological significance, 2020 had. And maybe you can tell us. But I think the world changed. And like people like me, I tell you, like up until 2020, I would see I was relatively normie. I kind of believed more or less that doctors wouldn't want to kill me. I believed that big pharmaceutical companies probably operated, with reasonable intent. I believed, Gregory, I have to tell you, see, 4 years on, I believed none of that now. But in all of 2020, and there, I reckon there'll be loads of people watching this and listening who will be in the same boat. So can I take you back to then? And how did you what did you make of, obviously, the lockdown, the COVID, and all of that stuff, the stuff we've seen since?
Okay, so I was, along with this, my ability as a writer, actor, director, producer, like a Renaissance man thing, and the astrology stuff, which was very powerful. And as a kid, as I said, the first chart I ever did was one of the Beatles in Abbey Road when I was 9. I was very psychic, so I've always been like that. So when this happened, I was, unfortunately for me, immediately I knew I smelled the rat with the gigantic stink, and I saw everything. I was in Paris. I was living in Paris, and Paris was terrible at this moment. Mm. And by the way, when you said astrologically, you could see this because there was an eclipse. You know, we just have a huge eclipse. That's very, very important for America, Iran, all the countries in the world. You know, it's the eclipse is like just like set the tone for the next 6 months. But it's not all gloom and doom, folks. But the eclipse that happened on January the 6th presaged this authoritarian crackdown. Is part of the fate of the earth. And as I said, I was in Paris, and because I have this remarkable gift, unfortunately for me, I saw everything immediately. And the depression I sank into, because it was terrifying. What I saw was terrifying because I saw the potential. And this is very important, the word potential. Because people don't understand, we live in a multiverse. There is no one fixed future. There are. Why do you think that movie won all the Academy Awards about the multiverse? You know, we're having a breakthrough right now, but it feels terrifying because the monsters, and they are monsters. The people who are demonically possessed inside the WF. We should talk about.
We will.
Okay. They are. Truly, you know, they're trying to force us down a road, my way or the highway, that's not true. And I saw the potential for the worst, most horrifying future for humanity immediately. And for 2 or 3 weeks, I just couldn't get out of bed because I was supposed to see it all. Then I got it together and realized that with my astrological gift, because people were so terrified, and it was so bizarre what was going on. I mean, Paris, the most beautiful city in the world, was a ghost town, and it was all a lie. It's all a lie. the whole thing is a lie. That I had to help people and come out of the astrological closet, stop, like, you know, pretending that I wasn't this astrological genius, and doing it privately with people in my business, and help people, because you can see in the chart the future and everybody's destiny. And so we'll talk about Klaus Schwab shortly, because he's going to die, thank God, very shortly, as in his chart. So but it was an awful experience. But again, I realized that was my responsibility. So, you know, everybody's life is their responsibility. So I got it together and began to, that's when I started to go on Twitter and talk to, that's how he came to speak, actually. I mean, the first thing, conversation I had was with Gareth Icke, David Icke's son, then I spoke to James Sterling Paul. And actually, I'd like to speak a little bit about Gareth Icke and David Icke later, because I have a couple of things to say that are very important about what they're doing right now that I don't agree is right. You know, because fear is the worst thing you can get into right now, and they're going down the wrong path, because we have total control over the future. It's all in your mind.
In fact I do remember you talking back then, Gregory, to James Dalrymple, and I remember you were one of the first people I said, I remember you saying that. This was when Boris Johnson was still flying high and all of that. And I remember,
yeah, he'll come back again.
You said he would fall, and boy, did he! He fell. He did fall, which was good, although he still kept on the circuit.
Yeah. And stuff.
So I thought that was really interesting back then, because, you know, as you say, fear is probably the most powerful weapon they have, isn't it?
Yeah, and that's why I just want to say this one thing about David and Gareth Icke that's very important. Because Gareth, who has had me on the show twice, and I really like him, I've done the chart of his daughter, he's a sweet guy, he's in music, it's my business.
Yeah.
You know, and I have a lot of respect for David because he's been so courageous. But I also think that David is a very angry man. I think that he is... they're both of them putting out the wrong message right now because they're being driven by fear. Gareth posted a couple of days on Twitter, which I wouldn't be on, by, well, thank God we met, because you know that was through Twitter. There's a lot of good things about Twitter, a lot of good things. Yeah. But you know, it is accessible. It's accessible. There's a lot of crazy people on Twitter. But Gareth posted this thing, and I understand why he did it, because I, you know, he's a young man, compared to me or you, and I understand his passion. But it's the wrong message to give people when you say, which he did 2 days ago, that if, you know, Iran attacking Israel kicks off World War III, we're all doomed. That's basically, I'm paraphrasing, that's what his message said. That is absolutely not true, because we live in a multiverse. Gareth and David do not understand quantum physics. If they did, they wouldn't be like putting out the sphere thing. And the other thing is this, and believe me, again, I have enormous respect for them both. God bless them. They've been great things, but they don't understand quantum physics. Quantum physics teaches you not only that everything is happening all at once, but that we have infinite probable futures, and that we are here to choose that by respecting the power of our minds and using the minds appropriately. That's why I teach this course called Total Power and Dominion. If you understand how to use your mind, you understand the astrological information, you know, you're going to put yourself in a totally different world from the world that Gareth and David are putting themselves in. Because basically, they're like the flip side of the W. They don't know this, but they're being the flip side of the WEF right now. The WEF are telling you, you know, you 2030, you'll have no money, no privacy, and you'll be happy. Horrific. And David and Gareth and other people like them, you know, like, are appalled by that correctly. But it's not going to help us if they tell you there's no choice. That's what they're saying. They're being driven by their own fear. This is very, very important, David, because people have to understand your mind is your kingdom. That's why this is the fundamental lesson of this time. And if you understand astrology, you understand how to use your mind, you will be in a different world. And I would not want to be in the world that David Icke and Gareth Icke are taking themselves down right now, because it is the world of the... That's why, as I said, Gareth, and I love it very much, Gareth, particularly. I've done two shows with him. You can't say that to people, that this, if World War III kicks off, and it is kicking off, you know, that's the part, it's definitely kicking off right now. There's no, it's not inevitably going to be a disaster. You know, he's too caught up in that. And I want to say this one, I'll shut up in a minute and let you speak. This is very important.
Keep going. Yeah.
No, it's very important. Very, very important. So my production company in London, Music TV Theatre Film, is having a fantastic experience right now. And the eclipse is disastrous for America, but it's wonderful for a lot of people, not the world. It's a huge moment of transformation. Dark and light. And, you know, this whole thing that's going on in Israel and Iran and Russia and Poland, it's all meant to be. This is the, you know, the lifting of the veil. You can't have the lifting of the veil without this, mm-hmm. this the dark and the light. So I have this, I'm not going to mention her name because she's a very private person. But she's become a major client of my company, King of Kings Worldwide in London. She's the most brilliant actress I've ever met in my entire life. I've worked with people like Faye Dunaway, who's an absolute barracuda. And this woman, who, if I mention her name, I guarantee you 100,000 of your viewers will go, oh my God, it's her, because she's British. But I can't mention it right now. But she and her business partner went to an event that Gareth Icke hosted in Derby a few weeks ago. And I knew what was going to happen. I got them into the event because I know Gareth, and Gareth was being very clandestine about the meeting and blah, blah, blah. They went to the meeting. I got them in. And afterwards, I said, how was it? I knew the answer. And they said, we were so depressed when we came out. You see, this is very important because Gareth, you're different. You see, you're different. You understand that we've played for, you know, all these years, but you've got to get in the positive side and realize that your mind creates the future. The problem for Gareth and David Icke is that they're falling into the trap of believing it's all over. And when you think about it, here's the truth. It sounds like I'm attacking them. I'm not, but this is the truth. Guys like the Ikes, they became prominent because the world is going to hell in a handbasket.
Yeah.
If the world was not going to hell in a handbasket, they wouldn't have a platform. Nobody would really be paying attention to them. I'm not saying that that's the reason they're doing, but they've got to get straight about this and stop giving out the inevitable negative stuff, because it will take the people who listen to them down that path. That is the opposite of what I'm trying to do.
Yeah. Well, I've spoken to, I know Gareth and David as well. I met David last year. He actually came over to where I live here in Northern Ireland. And I do take your point. The thing about it is, a gospel of despair is not a good gospel.
That's my point.
We need, and this is the thing. I mean, I learned this more than anything else, I think, through really the COVID time, Gregory. You know, yes, we want to oppose them because we want to have a better life. We will prevail. We will defeat them. And frankly, to live in the dark is not somewhere I don't want to live there. I mean, I am naturally as optimistic. You know, yeah. So basically, yeah, I choose the light, not the dark. And I think that people that probably follow me probably are similar to me, I guess.
I hope so.
Yeah, I think they are, Gregory. You know, but like that said, we've been through one hell of a ride over, you know, COVID, Ukraine, Gaza, and now Iran. I mean, you know, but as you said, maybe that's exactly what it's supposed to be. I mean,
it is what it's supposed to be. It is.
Yeah.
And you know, how old are you?
64.
Okay. So we're very close in age. So, you know, our parents, you know, went through, I mean, during the Second World War, I mean, you know, with Hitler, I mean, literally, they came very close to believing it was all over. You know, the problem we have today is that the, you know, younger people, you know, that's why we're like wise elders, you know, younger people have no experience of this kind of demonic force trying to humanity into the pit. But you know, the balls that these people had was magnificent. That's why in the UK this country. I mean, it barely resembles the country you and I grew up in because that element is gone. So this confrontation with absolute evil is necessary to build spine, to build backbone. You know, there was a great post on Twitter the other day, and I'm only on it because I need to be seen because there's so many crackpots on it. But great post about somebody, he posted about the turning back of the clock. And he said, you know, I'm turning back the clock, I'm turning back the clock to 1940 when Britain had some balls. And it's absolutely correct. You know, and so, it's our responsibility, your responsibility, my responsibility, everybody who's over 50, is to teach the younger people, you know, because they've forgotten. And this is all social conditioning. It's definitely planned. Oh, definitely planned, you know.
Yeah. You've used the word demonic several times. And that's how I see things. I see so much as demonic. I mean, I put up a post myself on social media earlier today about what's that guy, Grayson Perry, Sir Grayson Perry. And a picture from 2007, and he was at a children's cancer charity event. He was, I don't want to go into exactly how he was dressed. It was completely, absolutely inappropriate. And I would say, what is the force that drives those behaviors? Or even, I mean, not just picking on him, but you could pick your target. And I think it is like people are possessed.
You know, they are possessed. I mean, definitely every single person in the inner circle, cabal of the WF, is, I mean, these people, if you listen to what they're saying, Yuval Harari, the philosopher who says God is dead. I mean, all of them, Gates, Fauci, you know, and in case, I mean, Fauci's definitely part of this.
Yeah,
you know, we should talk another time about the astrology of you know, because this thing with Schwab going into hospital, he's dead. He's going to die. Thank God. Because, you know, you don't get away with this stuff. And the thing is that people need to understand that they think that because the people who are trying to drive us down the world into this horrifying Orwellian future are so possessed. You know, they've forgotten that, you know, that it's not going to happen. There's no way. You've got to keep the faith. But this thing about possession is absolutely true. But, you know, Rudolf Steiner, who was one of the greatest, most brilliant philosopher mystics of the 19th century, who created the Waldorf schools, the Steiner schools. This is very important. People don't know this. But in 1918, Rudolf Steiner, was a fantastically beautiful spiritual man, made a speech just after the first worldwide conference on eugenics, which is what COVID is all about. It's eugenics. And he said, because he was a mystic, you know, he had the ability to tap into the future, as I do. He said, you know, in 100 years' time, 1918, so we're now 2024. Think about that. 100 years' time. A vaccine, I'm paraphrasing, but he actually did say this in a speech called The Fall of the Spirits of Darkness in 1918. You can look it up on the internet. He said a vaccine will be developed for children, which will take the urge to connect with their spirituality out of them. That is why COVID, the vaccine, is all about the vaccine. I said this right at the beginning, and now we have Brett Weinstein, brilliant man in America, saying the truth that over 17 million people have died from the vaccine. It's all about the vaccine. COVID was the ultimate biggest lie in the history of humanity. And Steiner said that this vaccine would be developed to take out spiritual connection, the gene in children. I mean, this is not conspiracy. I'm like the most, I can't stand the New Age movement. I'm most, you know, astrology to me is, as J.P. Morgan said in the 19th century, one of the first billionaires, astrology is not for millionaires, it's for billionaires. I mean, people who talk to me like Simon Fuller, in case your readers don't, your listeners don't know, was the man who created the Spice Girls, who created American Idol, very good friend of mine. My father gave him his first job as a T-boy at my father's company, Air Chrysalis. So Simon will call me up, as he did like a few years ago. He just had a baby and said, can you do my kid's job for $1,000? That was what I was doing because I didn't want to be perfect. You know, I'm not a professional astrologer. I just had this ability, which I kept under wraps. This is very, you know, astrology is a brilliant practical tool. But when COVID hit and I saw the, you know, the insanity that was going on and the terror being inflicted upon people, I said, I have to help them in whatever way I can. That's why I came out of the astrology closet, and that's why I'm doing what I'm doing right now. And this is very important too. I don't want to keep talking, but it's very important because I need to speak. So there was a video on YouTube for about a week in January 2020 that was so important. And it was an interview with a Russian military intelligence officer. He was very smart, very brilliant, about what COVID was. And COVID, he said, COVID is, there is no pandemic. There is no pandemic. COVID is a military staff command exercise. There are three aims of the exercise. And he spoke about the Zionist. Zionist meaning what he called the Zionist. He was talking about the, you know, what we call the cabal. I mean, Zionist, that's a whole other subject, but he called it Zionist. The first aim, he said, is depopulation, which is what the vaccine is all about. And he said, because there are too many of us little people on the planet, they want to wipe out 50% of us at least. The second element is about finding a convenient way to explode, detonate the enormous bubble of debt that exist in the world, because they've raped the world of the little people, of what they call the little people, of their financial ability, which is, you know, that's absolutely true. That's why COVID is an economic exercise. The third thing you said was travel. They want to stop people from traveling. And that is exactly what's happening right now with the whole hoax about global warming. In France, I'm not sure if you're aware of this, but in France, they've so hypnotized the young people, they're actually agreeing to the fact that in 10 years' time, 5 years' time, nobody will be able to fly more than one flight domestically in France. And there's, you know, there's a plan for them in the UK to have no more than two airports. I mean, this is crazy stuff. So they are demonically possessed. Yes.
And can I ask you, just to zone in for a second on Klaus Schwab. Now, Schwab's been, again, I wasn't that aware of him, Gregory, until the COVID thing came
along. I wasn't either. Who was?
Yeah. And then all of a sudden, boom, he just arrives and he's like the godfather. He's right. I know you did almost get a role as James Bond. And he is like James. He is. I mean, you got to admit, he would be great casting as a Bond villain. But there have been these stories about him circulating just last 48 hours about his health. So what's your read on that? What do you think's going on with...
He's going to kick the bucket in a heartbeat. And you see that, you can see that in the chart. That's why, you know, when I said 2 years ago that Prince Charles was going to get cancer and die, I just saw that. That's why a lot of people, like I said, you right on. You can see all that stuff. That's why a lot of people are afraid of me, because they can see everything. And you see, that's just our destiny. I mean, death is part of life. Death is actually, in the shamanic tradition, is a great teacher, because if you live with death as your teacher, with death stalking you, the knowledge of that, you start to live, as Jesus said, as if each day we are last. And these people, these monsters, I mean, like, I'm listing, like, Tony Blair, Johnson, Cameron, I'm all these British people, Sunak, they're all EW, all these people, they are so off the charts, away from humanity, and so arrogant. Their hubris is extraordinary. They're all going to get theirs. So, so for sure, like, you know, Schwab going, you know, he'll die within months. I've told people for many, 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 many years that Bill Gates has cancer of the colon. It's in his chart. He will die within 2 years. All these people, it's not going to happen. The terrifying truth that Gareth and David Icke are talking about is not going to happen. In some reality that they will be in, because they're not understanding this, it will happen. But if you keep your mind, and this is not New Age caca. I can't bear that shit. This is not new. This is quantum physics. Your mind creates the future. That's why you're here. If you, David Vance, keep in the place of the truth that no matter what's going on in Iran, Russia, the WF, keep the vision of what you want to happen, you'll be in a different reality. this time is happening because all the cards are on the table. The worst of the worst of humanity. Look what's going on in Gaza. I mean, this is appalling. The best is also there. It's happening because this is the apocalypse, which means the lifting of the veil. The Book of Revelations is poetry. It's in that, you know, there's no three horsemen of apocalypse. It's not, they're not going to show up in the sky. This is just poetry. And, you know, what people forget about that biblical prophecy is that the end of it is the second coming. And the second coming is not like Jesus. It's Jesus, the Christ within us. You follow? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Which is what I call total power and dominion. And it's just love.
Because one of the things, Gregory, we should tackle this as well head on. I mean,
and by the way, Shakespeare knew that.
he knew a lot of stuff, didn't he? the whole Christianity astrology thing. And again, I've heard you talk about this, and I think it's very credible what you say. I mean, I think it's quite possible to be Christian and at the same time to have an understanding that astrology is a very real thing.
David, when was the last time you read the story of the birth of Jesus? That's unfair of me. But, you know, the three kings were astrologer kings. They found the way to Jesus in the Bible by a star. So astrology, I mean, you know, astrology is the greatest psychological, spiritual tool ever invented by mankind. And that is the reason, you know, and I'm like, if somebody calls me and say, you know, when am I going to win the lottery, or why is this happening to me? Why has my wife left me? Or why am I so depressed? I can tell it's in the chart. But that's not really the deeper purpose, obviously, of astrology. You know, Carl Gustav Jung, and I'd be interested to know how many of your listeners even know who he is or was, the great founder of modern psychology with Freud, studied astrology, studied tarot, studied the I Ching, because he understood that these were tools for understanding the psychology, the human psychology. And he used it with his patients. So, and just Google it. Google Carl Jung astrology. You'll find infinite, you know, quotes of Carl Jung, a genius, understanding his quotes about astrology as the greatest tool for human understanding. This is what has been lost. You know, I'm not like Russell Grant. You know what I'm saying?
I know.
These people are writing, you know, the magazine column. This is like tittytainment. It's ridiculous.
Yeah.
It's much more profound than that. And that's why I take a lot of time when I do this, and I charge people if they can pay it, because this is like two people said to me yesterday, this is priceless. So, because it's like a great psychological shrink session. So this is very, very profound stuff. And the Christianity thing is, of course, you know, Christianity is a religion that's been invented on the back of the insights of Jesus. And, you know, Jesus was, I'm absolutely sure that if he was talking to us today, he'd say, yeah, I know my chart. I mean, you know, I really believe that beyond a shadow of a doubt. There is a great book that any woman in particular should read listening to this show. It's called The Mary Magdalene Within. The Mary Magdalene Within by Joan Norton, a friend of mine, a Jungian psychologist, who literally channeled the voice of Mary Magdalene several years ago after her daughter died in a car crash. And she's the real deal. Channels, mediums are absolutely real people. We can talk about that. We should talk about that now, particularly regarding Shakespeare. And, you know, it was the voice of Mary Magdalene describing her love for Jesus. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Mary Magdalene was a healer. She was a great healer. She was a white witch. She was a healer, and Jesus was a white witch too. And these people, like, deeply psychic, deeply all the stories in the Bible about miracles are absolutely true. But he wasn't an entertainer, so he just I'm saying. So Jung understood, to go back to Jung, you know, astrology is in-depth psychology. Everybody, there are reasons. For example, I'm going to make another prediction for you right now, because, again, I'm not being it's just that, you know, it does fascinate. I spoke about I spoke about Schwab, Gates, you know, but, you know, I've written about this. Oprah Winfrey, nobody will believe me about this, but I'm going to be right about her as I was right about Charles having cancer. And, you know, we should talk again because time is short about what's going to happen to William, Charles, George and Kate, because it's in the chart and it's not pretty by the end of this year. But Oprah Winfrey will be bankrupt within 3 years. It's in a chart.
You reckon? Yeah.
No, I don't reckon. It's in a chart. Sure. That's the point. That's a karma, happen. You see? It's a karma. Mm, it's a
karma. Yeah, yeah. And well, again, let's just retract there a little bit. Charles, well, King Charles and Kate, this cancer thing that's just come along, Gregory. And all of a sudden, I mean, you know, I don't know what's going on, but I find it all very strange. I find it very strange.
Of course
strange.
It's strange. Of course.
I mean, well, how do you interpret it then?
So there's two things going on here, in my opinion. And again, this is like when something like that happens, and I find it a little odd that British people are particularly so obsessed with this, because I've never really been obsessed with the royal family. But I guess it's just the thing here. So I looked into it, and as I said to you, 2 years ago, I predicted correctly that Charles would get cancer and would die. I believe he'll die very quickly. You know, there'll be an announcement certainly over the next few months that he'll just go. And so I began to look at the charts of, because they're online, of William and Kate and George. And as I've always said, if you want to know the fate of the parents, look at the chart of the child. In the chart of Prince George, Prince of Wales, he loses both his parents within 12 months. In other words, what I'm saying to you right now is what I see in the chart of the Prince of Wales is that Kate and William will be dead within 12 months. Now, Ike has talked about that and said that the WF want to wipe out the royal family. You're right, you've never heard about that, right?
Yeah.
So that fits into that program. And somebody asked me today if I thought Kate was already dead, and I've said she could be. I mean, I just don't know. But in the chart of the Prince of Wales, he doesn't have parents within 12 months. Either they are being, Ike's correct, and they just want to wipe them out. The other possibility is that because cancer is such a huge, you know, inducing cancer, turbo cancer in the entire human race, is a part of this whole vaccine thing.
Yeah.
They may be being used as examples of that, you know, or as actually before they die, as tools to encourage people to take the next vaccine, which has been developed for cancer.
That's right. Well, see, that's a bit that my sort of spidey senses tingle at. The fact that, you know, they got their COVID mRNA jabs away, and they've been working. I mean, Pfizer and Moderna have both said, Gregory, that they're gambling big on cancer mRNA jabs. And if you're British, well, generally speaking, you know, the royal family is very famous around the world. And, you know, if Charles was to die, and if he does die, as you suggest, or Kate dies from cancer, then that would be an enormous thing, wouldn't it, in terms of how it would impact in life-saving cancer jabs, potentially. Hello? We have a freeze on Gregory. So I'm not sure. Whoa, he's gone. So there we go. Hey, so Hook says I can't improvise, but I mean, the thing is, the whole royal family cancer thing is a huge story, folks. It really, really is. And I have expressed my concern at the fact that they both got cancer almost simultaneously, and you got to think, what's the chances of that? And we don't know what the types of cancer that they have. We don't know what it is, but that notwithstanding, it seems mysterious. The treatments seem mysterious, and their conditions. Certainly, Kate's is very mysterious. And I do wonder about her health and her status. Charles, less so, which is why it's very interesting what Gregory was saying, because, you know, somebody saying here, Charles has heart issues, well known swollen hands and fingers. Yeah, the sausage fingers. And Blitzer, I do agree with you. There's no such thing as coincidence. People who think there are coincidences, I think, are, you know, you're not living in the real world. Everything happens for a reason, and that's what I think you have to run with. Now, let me just check to see what's happened. Gregory, he has temporarily gone. So maybe his battery ran down or something. So I'm not sure. But yeah, I mean, look, I just think that I see Jed's comment. Jed, I am pretty much in the same place. I don't know what's happened to Princess Catherine, the Princess of Wales. I don't know. And, you know, you're always conscious when you put this stuff out in the public domain, as we are doing, that, you know, she has children, she has family, and you don't, you know, I wouldn't want people speculating about whether I was about to die or not, or if I was dead and this was an AI-generated version of me. I wouldn't be nice for my family. So I'm conscious of that. You know, I try to be kind of discreet about it, but by the same token, what Gregory was saying is right. You know, these times we're living in seem to me, and I go back longer than most of you watching this, kind of, you know, without precedent, really. And Blitzer, you know, the Kate cancer thing was handled so strangely by the palace that Jed says he can now reveal, he knows me, he has met me, and this is an AI version of me. Yeah, the secret is revealed, Jed. This is actually AI talking to you now. Who knows what they can do? This is the thing also. We've never lived in a world where AI can generate things, replicants of people that are as good as the people, maybe better than the people. So I don't know, like it is a strange one where you literally cannot believe the evidence of your own eyes in 2024. You just can't do it. That's the truth of the matter, which is strange then. So how do we get discernment? How do we get discernment? And I think that we have to use this. We have to use our critical reasoning. And that's the thing I believe that probably unites the whole community around me. You're all critical thinkers. And Blitzer says we are all simulations living in a quantum graphic universe. That may well be the case. I see Winston Smith says just the photo being a doctor is enough for anyone not to trust anything. Yes, I agree with that as well. I mean, this is the bit for me that really got it for me with the Kate thing. I was perfectly prepared to accept she'd had an op. Maybe it hadn't gone that great, and maybe she was just recovering. That was my only level of suspicion. Then they put out the dodgy photographs, the dodgy video at the Windsor Farm Park, and then the final on the park bench video. And I don't really believe any of it. Do you? Do you all think that was all? Those were all. Oh yeah, super duper, definitely her. Because it was. I don't believe that it was. And then you have to ask yourself, why wasn't it? And the awful truth is, and the shocker is, that we can't really say we've seen the Princess of Wales since Christmas Day of 2023. And listen, we're not that far off May 2024. That's a long time, who can say? As for King Charles, I argue that we keep seeing him. So I don't understand what's happening there. He's being treated for, he's gotten chemo. He said he was on chemo. He gets the chemo that you don't lose your hair, right? He gets that type of chemo and it seems to be working and he seems to be on the road to recovery. But that's weird as well. Doesn't really totally make sense. So I don't know, folks, in a world where everything is about confusion, I just think what we have to do is be anchored, be positive. Hang on, Jed's just said he must be AI as my intelligence is artificial. And then another good comment here from my friend Blitzer. He says he spoke out against the vaccine on the Stephen Nolan show in March 2020. I never took the vaccine, but I fear I've been infected by the vaccinated in 2022. Not sure that that's possible, although, yes, there is the problem of, can it spread? I don't know. Some people say that it can, so maybe. But I don't know that the main thing is you didn't take the sort of shedding. Thank you, Jed. I was struggling for the word. I've done podcasts on this, Blitzer. I've seen evidence that suggests that shedding is a thing. And as we speak, I see Gregory making a return in the portal here. I think Gregory is back with us, Jed. If we can, he's in the dark, but he's trying to get
the light on. Hang on, how about that?
Yeah, I got you now. Yeah, we can see you. Gregory. So yeah, I thought the Russians had got you there, or maybe maybe climate change, because so listen, we were just talking about when you were gone there. I was just saying, whole royal thing is so strange, and it is like a massive psyop of some sort. I don't know how it's going to play out, but I suspect it'll be significant for the UK anyway. Yeah. Everybody. Yeah. Do you know? And that's what did you think, Gregory? What was your reaction to the photographs of the fake photographs of Kate, and then the video on the park bench? All those things made me even more suspicious about what are they doing here? What are they trying to do?
First of all, I just sent you a text, by the way. I'm saying I'm coming to see you because we have to hang out for sure. I'm coming to see you, no doubt. So much between us. By the way, I hadn't had a chance to say it, but before I address the Kate thing, I have to say this about you. I looked at your chart, and you have, we'll talk privately. We have great stuff coming up. So, for you personally, great stuff coming up. So, I felt the same thing you probably felt. As you said to me, you feel like we've been psyoped for so long, and that is really true. And I think David Icke, again, go back to the Ikes, found their own way to express that. The extraterrestrial thing is definitely true. I'm sure I've pulled that together. We'll talk about that at another point. I think it's definitely connected with what's going on right now. So to go back to your question, I don't think they have any choice but to do what they're doing. Mm. I do believe that Kate is either already dead or will be very shortly, and they don't know how to handle the whole thing. Because think about it, if they announce, particularly because the British people and the American people in particular are so wedded to the idea of royalty, which again is a fiction. I mean, it's pretty true. Royalty are robber barons, if you go back to it. I mean, there's no reason why the Windsor family should be in Buckingham Palace. I mean, like, it's just crazy. Okay. But it's a great tourist attraction. I think the only way they can handle this fact that they're crumbling to avoid panic in the British population is to pretend that she's not dead, and that everything's kosher and that Charles is fine, but Charles is not fine, and in his chart, as Klaus Schwab is dying via the eclipse. Same thing is going to happen with Charles, and she could well be. That's why I think. I mean, I it was very bizarre, the whole thing, but that's the only explanation I can find. And the problem is for people like you and me, because this. I mean, you're very perceptive, and anybody else is that of course you're labeled a conspiracy theorist, and the whole conspiracy theorist thing is such a weird thing, and probably most people don't know this, but the phrase conspiracy theorist was conjured up by Alan Dulles, the former head of the CIA, after the assassination of Kennedy. Before that, conspiracies have gone on. It's endemic to mankind. I mean, Julius Caesar, all that stuff, conspiracy. Yeah. It's like it is the way of the world.
That's right. Yeah.
Right? So the actual conspiracy theorist phrase as a pejorative, meaning negative connotation, was a part of the CIA's cover-up of JFK's assassination. There wasn't, that phrase wasn't in the cultural lexicon until they shot JFK. They killed him dead. Because they had to find a way to make mockery of the idea that it could possibly happen because they killed him. This is all connected. And you know that, and I know that. The problem is that most people don't get it, which is why that's so effective to mock this stuff. But I think to go back to the Fall of Family, it's either in the charter, Prince George, as I said, Prince of Wales, he has no parents within 12 months. They're just trying to do like damage control. That's what I think.
And Gregory, can I switch across the Atlantic and just very quickly ask you as well, you know, the United States, what the hell is happening there? You've got, you've got Biden and Trump basically, you know, sort of going to be the race for 24. I can't believe that Joe Biden could get back in, but I don't know, maybe he will because they're very good at cheating. The US seems to be a mess. It seems to be just so bad. What do you see for the United States, can I ask?
Okay, so countries have charts, corporations have charts, like people. So, for example, if I showed you the chart of the IPO, the Wall Street offering of Facebook, which was absolutely disastrous, the first offering, I explained it to you. There's no question it would be disastrous. So, nations have charts like corporations as well as people. In the chart of the United States of America from July 4, 1776, in Philadelphia at 5:10 p.m., the signing of the Constitution, the Declaration of Independence. It is very clear. And again, you have to regard the country as a person. If somebody said this is the, so that the eclipse we've just gone through, that everybody was so gaga and crazy about, heralds the, best way to put this, is the triggering of the deepest vulnerability in the country. It is literally everything that the people of America feared for 246 years, for 50 years, is happening as a result of the eclipse. So here's how it's going to play out in practical terms. As I said to you earlier, I've led a great, fascinating life. I have friends everywhere. I've met everybody from Cary Grant, Marlon Brando, to people in the special forces. And, you know, I find people fascinating. And I'm a good person, so I don't judge people. And I know for a fact from my connections in the SAS that there are already 300,000 troops on the ground in Poland. I have a friend in the American Air Force who was told 10 years ago that by 2024, America would be at war with Russia. This is all pre-planned shit. It's all pre-planned shit. And, you know, here's what people need to understand, without terrifying them, because, again, we have to go through this process. You can't change what's in the chart. But you can change the future by your recognizing the power of your mind, Gareth and David Icke.
Yeah.
So this is inevitable. We're already in World War III, but if you keep your mind fixed and get to talk to people like me or anybody else who's understands spirituality, you'll be fine. So think about this. The vaccine. The vaccine, according to Brett Weinstein, and it's absolutely true, has already killed over 70 million people in the world.
Yeah.
The entire military of the United States were vaccinated, bar the few people who protested.
Yeah.
We don't know what's happened to the military of China, and probably, because I believe beyond a shadow of a doubt, I feel very psychically, this is right, that China, the whole thing, were behind the whole vaccination policy in the world, because what's happening in the whole West, basically, we're witnessing the attempted destruction of Western democracy.
Yeah.
And so, the fact that it came out of Wuhan and, You know, Jinping has a very close relationship with Bill Gates and Klaus Schwab. We don't know. I mean, the Chinese military have the biggest army in the entire world, almost three times the size of the United States. Probably they have not been vaccinated, and they're not doing anything right now. They're watching everything play out on the world, in the world stage. So, you know, you've got the and again, people have to understand this. There have been forces inside the United States for over 100 years that want the destruction of America as an entity, that want the whole world, the whole Rockefeller thing.
Yeah.
This is what's happening right now. So think about it. Very conveniently, you have massive wars happening in Russia, between Russia and the Ukraine, at the same time, Israel and Iran. America committed to, you know, through the through NATO to support the Ukraine and Israel. Once that, it's already happened, right? So we already have on the brink of that. We got once the American forces who've been vaccinated, which means they, a lot of them are going to die within like 5 to 10 years. That's what's going to happen. It's already happening. That's what the vaccine's purpose is. Once the American forces gets committed to, again, I'm telling you, 300,000 troops on the ground in Poland already, gets committed to fighting Ukraine, fighting Iran. It's going to happen next. What is China going to do?
Tell me.
What do you think? Unvaccinated troops and twice the size of the U.S. military.
Well, like you say, I mean, they must be loving it. I reckon Xi Jinping must be so happy because he's seen
he's
the
part of the whole fucking. I'm sorry. I shouldn't use that word. He's part of the whole thing, man.
Yeah, well, they all are. But is Putin? He's part of it as well, isn't he?
Yeah, that's what makes it really complicated because Putin is like Macron, like Boris Johnson, like Sunak. They're all the WF leaders. It is, and it's, this is why, David, and I, you understand this, and I hope your audience is beginning to understand. It's so hard to convince people. Yeah, this is like, it is that demonic. It's crazy stuff.
I know. Because one of the other games that they're very good at, Gregory, is conquer and divide. They've ruled for millennia through conquer and divide.
Yeah.
Because it works. It works so well. And I always find a pressure on me. I won't be psyoped into picking a side. I'm not going to pick a side. You won't tell me to pick a side. I'll decide. But unfortunately, the pick a side thing, whether it's Muslims against Jews or, you know, whatever it is, Greg, they're very effective at this technique of dividing humanity. Whereas I think we should, you know, uniting the best of humanity is what we should be about.
Of course, but this technique of divide and conquer has gone on for millennia. I mean, that's why
it's
the old game, and it's why, you know, people like you and me. We just need to reinforce in people that this can be, intellect can be overcome. I mean, last time I was on Gareth Icke's show, he said, you know, the same thing I've heard of, what do we do? Well, the first thing you don't do is, like, you know, pour in negativity to people thinking, saying this is inevitable. Because again, your mind, you know, the whole thing about human experience is, you know, it's your experience. It is, you're here to learn lessons. It's not reality, you know. I know this for a fact from my experience of, you know, life after death. You know, that's why it's a joke. These people, the worst people in humanity who are witnessing on the stage right now, it's a joke. It doesn't mean anything. They think the hubris is so enormous. Yeah. I mean, look at Klaus Schwab. You know, like the whole thing talking about having avatars and all this shit and, you know, but he's dying. Like, it's not going to happen. This whole thing about immortality is a joke. So you've got to get back to, you know, yourself, stay rooted in yourself, and understand that, we know, your mind, this is the ultimate initiation. In other words, the way that you, David Vance, are becoming a more powerful human being is going through this experience and realizing I have way more power. And the whole thing is an illusion. And if what I say in my mind goes. And again, this is not New Age caca. It is the essence of spiritual truth. You have to go back to the works of Neville Goddard, Flanchin, Joseph Murphy, which were all like co-opted by, you know, people like the people who created The Secret, all that stuff. So, like the law of attraction, which is such bullshit. It's just like, it's, you know,
yeah.
This is all an initiation for us. And there is, don't be afraid. The fear is your ego telling you there is one inevitable future and I can't do anything. That's why Gareth and David are so off. You know, you hold the power.
Yeah. Yeah, I think you know, there's a lot in that, Gregory. Well, listen, Gregory, our time has rattled
by.
It's gone really fast, and technical issues notwithstanding. So a few things here just before we wrap the thing up. So first of all, everyone, do make sure you connect with Gregory. You can do that in different ways. You can get it. There's an email just across the bottom of your screen. You can see it on the screen. If you want to email Gregory, he will get to responding to you. Gregory's website, Gregory Paul Martin, is going to be coming along very shortly as well. Hopefully, I think you said Gregory at the end of the week. And of course, you can get him on the Twatters, on the X's, we put the bring it up. There you go. So those are all the different connecting points. Gregory, I feel that we've only just started a conversation, really, rather than ended a conversation. We've not spoken before, but I feel I've known you a long time. We've got a lot more to talk about. So I hope this has been enjoyable from your perspective.
No question. And listen, I'm serious. I'm going to, the next time we speak, which will be within a month, because I know your chart. I was on your chart. I'm telling you, there's great stuff coming for you in your chart. And by the way, tonight, your mind will be on fire. That's also in your chart. I saw that today. I'm coming to visit you. You've got to tell me where you are. We'll arrange a date. And the next time we do this, we'll be together. So it'll be none of this technological bullshit.
I look forward to that, Gregory. Yeah,
me too.
Everybody, wherever you are, thanks so much for tuning in across the different platforms. I hope you've enjoyed listening to Gregory. As we've said, we've only just touched the top of the iceberg. There's loads of stuff to get into.
We should also, next time, we should talk about, as well as talking about Shakespeare and our mutual understanding of that, we should talk maybe about some lighter stuff. And that's why I said to you, David, you know, like guests like May Pang, John Lennon's true lover, Eric Clapton, Van Morrison, I can get them on this show, and that would be like great for you, because these are great people that need to be heard.
Well, again, I see that's a topic we didn't have the chance to get into. I did mention this in one of her messages. I was so disappointed in the music industry during COVID. I was so pleased.
Me too, man. Me too. I was shocked.
Yeah. But I was so happy that my fellow countryman, Van Morrison, he spoke out against it. Eric Clapton, he spoke out about it. You know, there were some, but there weren't many.
Well, I tell you, when I saw McCartney in this beanie taking the shot, I thought, What the hell is that?
Yeah.
What the hell is that? You know, the great, I'm telling you right now, if Lennon was alive, Lennon was alive, because I obviously knew him very well, he would be right alongside Clapton and Van Morrison. I mean, it's just appalling. I was exactly the same way. I said, what is going on here?
Yeah. Yeah. All the rebels
became
conformists.
Right.
You know, and it's, but maybe that's part of our enlightenment as well, Gregory.
It absolutely, exactly. That's the point. You know, I mean, that's why I'm saying you've got to get Clapton, Van Morrison, and, you should, and probably, you know, when I mention Whitney Webb, you may think, oh, well, she's been all over everyone else, but Whitney Webb is a brilliant. I did a couple of webinars with Whitney Webb and Sushra Bhakdi, and, you know, she's a real journalist. These people are very, very important. And it's happening. What's happening is, as you, because you've got a platform, God bless you, and you're using it the right, I'm telling you, the pushback will occur, and, you know, this thing will be defeated. This evil will be defeated. It is the ultimate.
Yeah, I absolutely believe that. Otherwise, you know, I couldn't go on. I absolutely believe that right will prevail, and that the light will banish the darkness, because actually darkness doesn't really exist. It's the absence of light. And so I think we will get there, Gregory. But certainly there's lots of fascinating people that we can talk to. And as I say, we can have more conversations. One folks that we do want to talk about, we're both big Oxfordians, believers that certainly that the guy that wrote the Shakespeare plays wasn't the man from Stratford that they
attend.
But actually, again, we'll do a show on that. But that was my first rabbit hole. 25 years ago, I started to read about that, Gregory.
And really?
Yeah, a long time ago. And and I had never made the connection. It shows how stupid I am. I didn't realize that. So they've pulled this off the biggest literary scam ever, right? Mm-hmm. And then the logical question is, well, what else might they have pulled off? What other scam?
Right.
Do you know what I mean? And you sort of, as you said it earlier, such a true expression. It's all connected, isn't it? It's all connected.
Unquestionably. I mean, literally, I'm telling you right now, if Edward de Vere, the 17th Earl of Oxford, who was the man who was really Shakespeare, was talking to us today, he would say, what he's witnessing from the other side right now on the planet Earth is like a huge bloated version of what he went through in Elizabethan England. It's exactly the same thing on a massive scale.
Mm-hmm. Well, we're gonna have to do a separate show on this one, because it's a great interest of yours and mine as well. Listen, everyone, we've kept you a wee bit longer than normally tonight, but I'm sure you'll understand that. Gregory, thank you so much. Thanks, everyone, for tuning in. And I'll be back later on in the week. But from Gregory and myself, good night.
Good night. Thank you so much.